Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Wednesday, January the 6th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour, and we have got a great guest this morning. We enjoy his visits to this program. They are always lively, entertaining, fun, and informative, and he is one of the most well-known personalities in television history. You probably remember him best for his highly acclaimed, long-running, high-rated television series, The Judge Joe Brown Show. It's always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones Judge Joe Brown. Judge, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Happy New Year, by the way.
Yes, Happy New Year to you. Judge, how are things in your neck of the woods?
A little managed, I guess. We're beginning to get hit a little harder with C-19, but it is what it is. And we've got an election coming up this year, too. So people are lining up to see who's going to run for what. But it is what it is.
Do you have any ambition to run for anything?
They're trying to get me to run for mayor, but I'm not so sure I'm going to do that. Oh, that's a consideration. I've run twice. I got elected to 2 8-year terms as a state trial judge. So that was what it was, but it's a long, arduous thing to be elected. Campaigning is not the most pleasant thing you can be doing.
What will make your final decision on if you run for mayor or not?
See if I can recruit somebody I think ought to run to run. Let's see. I'd much rather it be somebody else than me right now. I'm happily retired, I guess, if you can call what I do being retired.
What are your days like now? How has COVID affected your life?
Well, I gotta stay home a lot. I guess that's the prudent thing to do. So I write and I read and I fiddle around and do stuff, make things, work on things. So, you know, it's what it is. Go out and get some exercise, walk around in the neighborhood. It's an open place, so you don't encounter too many people at any arms left. That makes it easy to get out and go jog. I try to jog, but my pedometer tells me it's walking. How humiliating. Anyway.
You know, it's interesting because we are coming off the holidays, and most states in the United States are seeing a record number of people going to the emergency room, testing positive for COVID-19. Why do you think people have not, we're in this 10 months now, why haven't they followed the advice given by doctors?
They can't see it. They've been told it's a pandemic, but they don't see anybody personally or know anybody personally. Frankly, my circumstances are such that I am personally acquainted with more people who have been stomped on by COVID-19 than when I was in my 20s. I was familiar with people who had gotten jacked around in the knob. So it is what it is. I know quite a few people, or I'm aware of personally, quite a few people who have suffered. And it hasn't gotten where it's going to get to. I had a weird minor UCLA called vertebrate paleontology. And interestingly enough, sort of a specialty in the role of pathogens in species development and extinction events. So we kind of studied this 53, 54 years ago, and it was predicted. It's been on the horizon for a long time, and after we got SARS back at the beginning of this century, it should have been very obvious that something like this was bound to happen, but nobody paid attention to it. Then there was Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. Nobody paid any attention to that, and here we are. So it's inevitable, and my calculations that I did several months ago suggested the death toll was going to be what it is right now. And I predicted then, and I hope I'm wrong, that we'll have 1 million to 1.5 million dead Americans by the end of March this year. Looks like it might be more than that at the rate things are going. So maybe we'll get a handle on it. We have vaccines, or at least what purport to be vaccines, but we don't have enough time. We haven't had enough time to look at what they do to determine whether or not they're actually effective, or what we're looking at is a random association rather than a direct correlation on a one-one basis with the vaccines are a success. In any event, there is another problematical thing, and we find that even if you catch COVID-19, you only maintain an immunity for between 45 and 90 days, and you can come down with it again, which is something people have started to do. So it is not exactly a sure thing that this vaccine is going to work any appreciable amount of time. And then there's the problem about double dosing somewhere between 3 and 4 weeks apart that is needed. And what are you going to do about that? And the availability of the vaccine is not what some have been saying. And in any event, I will say this. The vaccine cures you get, preventatives you get, protection you get are going to come from some nerds in lab coats keeping very late hours in a laboratory. Not any president, not any senator, not any congressman. So hopefully they will be creative and there will be a lot of head slapping at 4 a.m. in the morning and ahas and people rushing to the lab to make some changes here and there. Otherwise, we've got a problem.
You know, Judge, history is an interesting thing. When history looks back on this time, which it certainly will, what do you think it will say about the pandemic of 2020-2021?
Well, if it's an accurate history, it will say it is a shame that where science and medicine were 50 years ago, it was allowed to deteriorate to the point that it has in 2020. There has been a big thing on the social level with glorification of dysfunction. There is this thing that you might call the entitled or the participation ribbon culture that has developed, where everybody is supposed to be pleased, nobody is supposed to be pained, and the world is a dangerous place that doesn't work like that, but people are trying to act like it does. There are a lot of things going around that people want to do that may not be the best from a responsibility aspect, but to accommodate that, there's been an attack on science and medicine over the last 50 years that has reduced respect for those things to a surprisingly low level. and we don't have an appreciation of science now, because let's say we've dummied down school. A lot of things that you used to get in the fifth grade in certain parts of the country, you don't even get in college now. It's not good. So history might record that this is a nadir of this country's perspective on hard science, and it brought it on itself. The Tocqueville, when he wrote this treatise on democracy in America in 1843, or published it then, he said, America is an interesting place because of its commitment to equality. He said, the average peasant frontier farmer thinks he is on the same level with a PhD and does not understand the things like learning, discernment, experience, breadth of knowledge distinguish anyone from his condition. So since all people are in a condition of equality with his peasantry, he thinks those people that have these elevated intellectual abilities, it's irrelevant. So he glorifies ignorance. He depends upon intelligence and education from time to time, like now, but he attacks it ordinarily because everybody is equal, he says. But equal is not always what it sounds like. The Tocqueville said, the average American has only to reflect upon the condition of his slaves, all equal in their servitude, but certainly not in an enviable position. And America has been like that. It has been a fundamentally anti-intellectual nation that depends upon its smart people from time to time, even though it does not appreciate them. So we are in one of those phases.
Judge, we have not spoken since November. The presidential election happened in November, and is still going on in some sense even today. What did you make of election night, the fallout after, up until where we are now?
Well, I know a Associated Press poo-poos it, but quite frankly, I'm not impressed with the credentials of the people at Associated Press that are able to make these determinations past what courts, people, and circumstances can do. There is this thing called the Commission of 1877 that I think is going to, shall we say, be evoked again when Congress meets to determine what's going to happen with the purported election results. That is not the election that the people think they pulled off, but the election that the electors are going to conduct or have tentatively conducted. See, when the Constitution was written, we had 13 sovereign entities that had been former colonies of Great Britain. They unified into a union that basically is quite similar to the Euro Union. And in fact, the Euro Union is modeled on us. So it's 50 sovereign states now. It's not 340 to 380 million people. It is 50 sovereign states. And those states have the right in the union they form to select their chief executive. They have a right to propound the laws that govern them as a unity. They have Congress to make up those laws. They have the Electoral College to select the chief executive. So it is up to the states to determine how those electors are selected. And the states also can set general qualifications past those in the Constitution that determine who their representatives and their senators are. So the people don't, 380 million people, elect the president, nor do they elect congressmen. It's the state in which you are a resident, where you have your driver's license, pay your taxes, register to vote, and hold properties. So let's see what the states do when it comes time to assemble and make the final selection. That's kind of up in the air. 1877, you had a problem with the election when there was widespread fraud, cheating, etc., going on, and the Congress created an act, which is still in full force and effect, and they came up with a commission. The commission consisted of five senators, five congressmen, and five justices off of the Supreme Court, including the Chief Justice. So we will see what happens. The new Congress has not been sworn in, so the Congress that will do the work is the one that exists right now. I know the election results in Georgia gave the Democrats control of the Senate nominally, but that's not the one that will be making the decision. And as it is, you will have three Democrats from the House, two Republicans, and three Republicans, two Democrats from the Senate. The Supreme Court has certain rules that determine who's going to be coming out of that, and they will make a report back with everything on hold until that report comes back as to whether or not there was widespread or significant cheating in the determination of the electors that could alter the actual outcome of events. Now, that's the general rule that's in place. When Gore and Bush had their thing back in 2000, the Supreme Court came up with a rule that says it is not unconstitutional to deprive a citizen of the effect of his or her vote, so long as it does not materially alter the outcome of the process. However, if it does, then that is to be taken into consideration. The interesting outcome on that is if the select committee under the 1877 Act comes back with a finding that there is cheating, the 12th Amendment has a remedy, and that is the selection of the chief executive goes to the House of Representatives with an interesting caveat. Each state gets just one vote, no matter how big nor how small. That might be very interesting.
You know, Judge,
it doesn't take long to read it, but people might get one of these free copies of the Constitution they pass out at malls and read Article 1 of the Constitution and then read Amendment 20. Okay.
Well, Judge, it's very interesting what's going on in Georgia. You alluded to it there. As we have it right now, Joe Biden won that state back in the presidential election, and as it looks right now, as you just said, the two runoff Senate races One has already been declared for the Democrat, and the other, the Democrat, is leading right now, although it has not been called by most news sources. But if things go the way it looks like they're going, the Senate now will be Democrat for the first time in a while. What has
I saw that.
Yeah. What has happened in Georgia?
I think what has happened is there is a lot of hype that has promoted a lot of ignorance. And we're getting race-based politics to an extreme degree in Georgia. In other words, vote for somebody because of the color of their skin rather than the content of their character or their ability. But be that as it may, Georgia is peculiar. I went through some of the results, actually all of them I could find, and I am thinking of some 50-year-old Supreme Court cases that said statistics can be used to prove a necessary fact. And statistically, we've got areas where there were more votes counted than there are people to cast them. Statistically, that's bad. That happened in some other places. You see things like 102% votes, 103, 106, or 7% vote count, which means there are more votes that are tallied than there are people to cast them. What that looks like is, and this is from my experience in criminal law and forensic analysis of circumstances, is that somebody anticipated that the voting turnout was going to be as it was, decided to pull off some voting cheats, fraud, and when they stuffed the ballot boxes, they didn't realize that was going to be combined with a very high turnout one way or the other. And the amount of folks that were going to present themselves to be counted would be greater than the number of people eligible to cast them. Now, vote cheating is interesting. Here in Shelby County, which embraces Memphis, for 20 years we have not had a fair election, according to the Justice Department. They issued several findings about the machines here being hacked and the elections being controlled for certain offices. So in 2008, the United States government gave Memphis and Shelby County the money to replace every machine. For 12 years, those machines have not been replaced, and the money has been wasting away in a bank. Well, the government did some things last year, not 2020, but 2019. The county commissioners were threatened with a lawsuit. They bought the new machines with the money, but they left them warehoused from January 2020 all the way through now. So they used the hacked machines for the state primary, the state final, the federal primary, and the federal final election proceedings. So we've had hacked machines in place. All it takes is a cell phone and the knowledge of how to do it to call any election in Shelby County, and we have had these machines in for four election cycles last year instead of putting the new ones in. They've sat in a warehouse. So cheating is rife, and we've had several lawsuits and findings and studies done here that show indeed elections are commonly the result of extensive fraud, and everybody just acts like it doesn't happen. But you see, these things do. So let's see, maybe we can get back to a more level ground. Now, here's the problem. The United States has been holding these elections longer than anybody else in the world, and we have a history of extensive voter fraud, voting fraud. And we sort of overlook it, and it is one of the things in law that really needs more attention than it gets. we do not pay much attention to election fraud in reality. So we sort of got, what do they put it, as Shakespeare said, hoist by our own petard.
Judge, with the Senate looking as if it's going to become Democratic, Congress will stay Democratic, and it looks like we are going to have a Democratic president. The question of this $2,000 stimulus check, which President Trump seemed to be for as well, the hang-up was in the Senate. Now, if the Senate is under Democratic rule, do you think it's likely we are going to see these checks now?
Well, I don't think we're going to get as much as we thought we were going to get. I'm not eligible for one, but part of the hang-up in the Senate had nothing to do with the stimulus checks. It was who got them and where some of the other money that came in under the bill was going, like $25 billion to Pakistan, including $10 billion for transgender education and adjustment. What's that for? CBS, MSNBC, ABC, Disney, Fox, CNN, Warner Brothers, Universal, Paramount, Columbia were supposed to get huge amounts of money under this COVID stimulus check. Why did they get a dime? You see, this is what the hang-up was, is all of these riders in this pork, they call it, that's included in the bill. What's that got to do with the average citizen needing a check? See, it's a giveaway, and some of the activity of the Senate was based on that. Now, what I would say, I'm a strong, very strong Second Amendment supporter, also very much in favor of children. I don't like some of the things that have been developing across the country in terms of what children are being exposed to and taught. So what I would tell ordinary people is hide your children, hide your guns, because there's going to be a lot of things that I don't think you're going to like when it comes to your children. If you can, homeschool them and buy all the ammo you can, because there's going to be a massive effort to disarm the public. And considering the times we're in, that's not a good thing.
You know, Judge, one
thing... I'm predicting one other thing, too. There's probably going to be a loss of control of one chamber, if not both, of the Congress in the midterms as a result of the severe gun control strictures that some are going to try to put in place. And we've had a record level of firearms acquisition over the last few months. Now, I don't think a lot of citizens are going to want to be disarmed again.
There are two things I want to touch on here, Judge. One is the presidential election. A lot of people are worried that if this is confirmed for Joe Biden, that Trump supporters are going to riot, protest, depending on, I guess, how you see it and what happens. That being said, do you foresee that happening?
I think what's going to happen is the process of selecting electors is not going to be what triggers things. I think what's going to do it is a very large portion of the American public that's going to get greater is somewhat sickened by what they see being pushed down the throats of our children. They are not going to go for that. You can see it on the commercials on TV. You can see it on the programming on TV. You can see what was coming through the movies and what you can get on alternative access points rather than going to a movie when you tune into something on your devices these days. There is a sea change in American life that does not reflect the majority of the country. And that's going to be a bad thing for a lot of people. And as you've seen, it's not the Make America Great Again bunch that's been out in the streets dealing with public disorder. It is a group, to the contrary, that I would say is more akin to the far left, that's been having the equivalent of a very rowdy spring break. It's gone on for months, and we have municipality after municipality where 150 people every night have been out tearing stuff up and acting generally in a civilly disordered fashion. And they're the same bunch that's been bailed out over and over again with no recourse, it seems, to public order, who've been getting out of line. And I think they're going to continue to get out of line, because this real problem that we've had is not really about Trump. That's only a hype that the media has put out there. I think fundamentally what we're really saying is, I'll use everybody's term. Well, I'll use the other side's term for us. They call us norms and breeders. That is becoming a pejorative for ordinary, normal people. We're called breeders and norms. And the other side calls itself, frankly, queer. I'll take their term. So what we've got is a set to between the queers and the breeders. And I'll take their terminology that they've been throwing around on social media. So if they want to get insulted, they put it out there. But that's what we're really looking at, is ordinary people confronted with not just demands for freedom to do what they want in their bedrooms, but an active campaign that's been going on for 50 years to impose a worldview on the rest of the public. And that's what this cycle was really about, but some don't know it yet. So we'll see the consequences of that.
You know, Judge, one thing that was interesting to me this past weekend is when the phone call between the Georgia Secretary of State and President Trump was released to the media, asking the Georgia Secretary of State to find more votes. That's the call everybody was talking about. Now, at some point, wouldn't both parties, the Georgia Secretary of State and the President, President Trump, wouldn't they have to know that that phone call is being recorded by one end or another?
Well, what's wrong with it? Let me put it in context. If you're old enough, you might remember stuff. Let's go back to this place here. Harold Ford Sr. got elected to Congress the first time in 1974. He kept saying, this result that shows I'm losing can't be right. Well, he went down personally, broke through a police line, and he literally knocked down a screen and found 40-some thousand more votes that had been hidden. He found the ballot boxes. They've already had reports coming out of Georgia that there are discarded votes for Trump that weren't counted. So maybe what he's just doing is go find them. Now, on the other hand, you might be concerned about the released recording of the Zoom meeting that Kamala Harris, Obama, and Biden had with some black people that were assembled by the NAACP, and he was chiding them. And he was telling them that they needed to shut up because they needed to control the seats in Georgia and get them so that they could control the Senate. And he was saying that they needed to be quiet because they couldn't let the voters in Georgia know some things, one of which that he really castigated his audience on was the issue of defunding police. And to use, excuse me, I'm quoting him, his exact language, he said, look, we need to shut the hell up on this. During this last election period, we got our asses whipped out there badly, and we can't risk losing these seats in Georgia by putting this out. They cannot know that's what we may be thinking of doing. So what is that? That's somebody telling you who may be the president-elect, and he's telling you that we've got to hide what we're actually up to so the voters won't know about it.
Well, I think...
Now, you tit for tat. If it's bad for one goose, it's bad for the other.
And I think most people would feel that way. I think people would say that both of those things are not good. I think the problem with the phone call with President Trump and the Georgia Secretary of State is that President Trump is saying, this is what I think happened. I think there's proof of this. And the Republican Secretary of State keeps saying on the call, he says, that's not true, Mr. President. There is no evidence of that, Mr. President. He keeps saying you're wrong, basically.
Well, let's say this. For 50 years, I've had quite ample experience of someone claiming something is not such and such, and then finding out in a trial that he is in fact such and such. I have signed the paperwork locking up a lot of people for a long time because of that. I've also encountered situations where somebody was basically denying that something was the fact when it turned out to be the fact. Or let's flip that the other way around. I know intimately how off what we hear in the press can be what somebody who is an official can say or think that does not correspond with reality as it gets proved. Many a times I have had a case where everybody in the press is saying this guy needs to be executed, it's horrible, and sometimes it even got slightly amusing. I can remember one time that courtroom was stuffed with reporters and family members lusting for the blood of the defendants, and the jury came back with a question. Your Honor, if we feel that the victim deserved killing, do we have to convict the defendant? You see, so things like that do happen, and because somebody's Secretary of State denies something, I have seen many a lawsuit where what is denied turns out to be true. And a lot of times, the other way around, which is somebody claiming something to be true is dead wrong. So we have not exhausted our mechanisms, and we have to remember these things are not properly tried by one person's, two persons, three persons' opinions. It has to be proved and tested sometimes. Now, I will say this about the whole thing. There is a very old saying about America, and that is, in a system like ours, we get the representation we deserve. So hang on to your hat. It might get wild. Like I said, I would suggest you hide your guns and your children.
With 5 minutes left, Judge, here will be the story on the Georgia Senate races most people feel. And I don't know where this miscalculation happened, but people are driven by money in a lot of cases, especially right now during the pandemic. The president, when the $600 stimulus looked as if it was going to be passed, President Trump said, no, I want everybody to have a $2,000 stimulus. the Republican Senate, and you are right, there was a lot more in that bill than just the $2,000 stimulus, but they did vote it down. The president chided the Senate for doing that, for putting it down. Joe Biden goes to Georgia and basically says, you know, hey, we need this $2,000 stimulus to get the Democrats in there, and we're going to do this. Whether or not they will or not, we'll find out. But do you think, regardless of it, this $2,000 meant a lot in this race in Georgia? These two races?
I'm not sure how much that actually meant, because I think it was an emotional roller coaster going on in Georgia. One thing that has disturbed me about what I'm looking at is, let's just take the hashtag MeToo label that some women adopted. Why in the world are the feminists and the hashtag MeToo people not upset that one of the few female U.S. senators lost her seat to a man, and that same man was accused by his own wife of running over her foot after she caught him with another man? Nobody said anything about that, and that's surprising. What kind of hypocrisy is that? You scream and holler about this, that, and the other man being an evil demon for just weak allegations, and then you turn right around and all of a sudden you love the people that had strong allegations made against them, and you completely forgot your point about we're trying to have more women in these positions of power, yet Georgia turned one out and there's not one whimper, one peep about it. The person that turned that woman out is somebody that is in a situation of having had an egregious accusation of inappropriateness put against him, but we don't have one peep out of it from the press or those who were the writers that were vociferously blowing around these terms about impropriety a few months ago. What happened? What happened to Kamala Harris calling Biden a racist, a misogynist, and whole lot of bad things when she was campaigning for president, and now she's in love with him and he's the best thing since sliced bread? What happened? This hypocrisy in the American system is bad. Frankly, I haven't seen anything quite like this since George Herbert Walker Bush, running in the primary for the 1980 election, started calling Ronald Reagan's economic plan voodoo economics, which to an extent it was, turned right around and become a primary supporter of voodoo economics. The political expediency is disturbing because it's indicative of a lack of integrity to certain positions. That's another thing that I'm looking at. What happened? Ladies, aren't you disturbed that one of your few female senators is gone to a man who was accused by his own wife of a number of improprieties and her crying face on television saying she can't take it anymore? And, wow, what happened?
Judge, do you think in the final analysis today that whether it's Republicans or Democrats, the Democrats in the situations you've just described, or the Republican situation a few months ago when it was we can't vote on a Supreme Court justice who passed away when there's an election pending unless it's somebody we want in there, do you think that hypocrisy on both sides, you're either with us or against us, is what annoys the American public, turns them off to the news, turns them off?
It may be, but let's put it this way. Quite frankly, I'm predicting there's going to be a lot of filibustering going on about the issue of who gets to pee in the girls' bathroom besides the girls. I think there's going to be some bad feelings going on about who gets to compete in women's sports besides biological women. I think those issues are going to be paramount. And as a matter of fact, I think this is going to be a very nasty period because the indicated president-elect has said his legislative priority, at least what he's going to urge on Congress for the next, first 100 days will be a certain agenda for people of a certain, shall we say, minority perspective on who to have sex with. I think the American public has become tolerant of what goes on in a private bedroom, being quite permissible as long as nobody's hurt, but putting it out in the public eye, propagandizing the children with it, pushing that down people's throats, I think that's going to be bad. Like, under the Obama administration, it wasn't just the bathrooms, but there was an edict under health, education, and welfare wherein junior high or middle schools and high schools, if, let's say, a boy identified with a girl, he got to be naked in the locker room and in the showers with the girls. And the idea that there is a bare penis soaked down under the hot water with bare vulvas under the hot water and soaked down where there are preteens and teens involved is a recipe for an absolute disaster in an educational system, but nobody was too concerned about that because nobody looked at it and the press suppressed it. So that's going to be part of the first 100 days of priority. So I'm interested in seeing how the American public is going to react to that, and I'm very intrigued by the propaganda possibilities that are not going to be ignored by the mainstream press and also the concealment that's going to go on. It ought to be interesting.
Judge Joe Brown, always a pleasure to have you on the show, and hopefully as this interesting time all goes down, we'll be able to visit again, Judge. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Have a great day and Happy New Year.
Judge Joe Brown will be back in about 10 minutes.
Trusted source. We are NewsForce247.com.
Programming on WWGH Radio is proudly Amy's Party Zone and Moons.